Love Talk Radio.
No, just brother. We belong
together. And you know.
Fake nigga lie to a real nigga. That's just some shit that you don't do. I'ma stay rap for my real nigga. That's just some shit that I'm going through. Fuck all the commas. Let's fuck all the commas, nigga. Let's fuck all the commas. Do this shit wrong. Yeah. Filch. Filch. Just some shit don't do. Fuck all the commas. Yeah, fuck off the commas, yeah. Fuck off the commas, yeah. 100,000 to 100,000, 100,000 to 100,000, 100,000 by 100,000, a million dollars out of money shop. Fuck off the commas, fuck off the commas, yeah. Fuck off the commas, yeah. Fuck off the commas, yeah. 40,000 to 100,000, 100,000 to 100,000, 100,000 by 100,000, a million dollars out of money shop. Fuck off the llama, I'm hot like a sauna, yeah. They burning it over. Can't play with that money, yeah. I'm fucking with shorty, yeah. I'm loving the way that she fucking me, yeah. Get no fucks, yeah. We don't get no fucks, yeah. Throw my cup, yeah. I just bought my plug, yeah. Full of the mud, yeah. Then get full of them drugs, yeah. Feeling real right, yeah. I'm on the same thing as Mike, yeah. Bottle of ice, yeah. I wanna beat that dough like Ike, yeah. Fuck out some commas, yeah. Fuck out some commas, yeah. Let's fuck out some commas, yeah. Fuck off some commas, yeah. 100,000 to 100,000, 100,000 to 100,000, 100,000 by 100,000, a million dollars of money shop. Fuck off some commas, yeah. Fuck off some commas.
What's going on, Big Rick?
Ain't nothing, Fizz. You know, I was kind of hitting the folks, you know, a couple times, doing a little dive on it, a little bit, you know, had that future popping.
You hit the choir?
Yeah, you know, I was hitting the folks, dabbing, definitely, definitely kind of hype, you know,
yeah,
trying to get you hype,
right,
definitely
right.
Trying to get you hype before the show.
Yo, kids trying to get me, you know, get me to stay a little young, so I had to put a little future on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there's another real sports show going down. Got a lot to talk about. I'm jump right in because I know you want to chime in on that. Yo, what's up with your boy Peyton Manning?
First and foremost, let's disregard of what we think of the, you know, what we think of the person, the author's, you know, race or whatever. I don't know. Jason Whitlock is coming out looking like, I don't know if you peep this. But Jason Whitlock is just, like, dismissing this person's, you know, story because he's like, oh, he's a white man that's trying to act like he's black or whatever the case is. Like, let's look at the crux of the story and let's get down to the bottom of it. So I'm not here to sit here and look at anyone's race or whatever the case is, but I look at the story and it's not that, and I feel this. So disheartening because people are dismissing it, saying, oh my gosh, it's so old. It's so old. It's 20 years old. Why are we talking about something that happened 20 years ago? And, you know, and this or that. And I'm just like, but why wasn't it covered? Why didn't a lot of us know the story? Like,
that's exactly what I was saying. To me, it is not so much just the act. It was how it was brushed under the rug and then covered all up.
Yeah. No, and you know what? That's what we call that, white privilege.
Right. hands down. Nobody can say anything. It's just because he's a white man and he's able to do that. Because if it was anybody else, we wouldn't be able to do it. No
way. I'll bring in race into this and tell me that I'm wrong. Why do we know about Randy Moss's transgressions? Why do we know about, you know, Lawrence Phillips beating on his girlfriend?
Right.
And why didn't we know this? Like, I'm saying, like, if I don't listen to, you know, sports talk radio all the time or whatever, I don't know this. Right. If I listen, you know, by me listening to radio, I get, you know, I with idea about this, you know, because I heard about it, but I didn't know the full story about what actually happened. It happened, but they never told us what happened. But we knew about the things that Randy Moss did, and you know, prayers to that such about. But we didn't. But all of a sudden, you know, someone like Peyton Manning, we don't know nothing about what happened to him.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of shocking, but even worst of all, it was kind of overall shocking what Archie played into it.
Oh, and you took the hours. That was my next point. He looks like, and what it comes down to, it, friends, is I think that he's been the engine behind all of this, this situation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that, I mean, friends, you can. I know you probably can agree with me on this, is that they are probably the first family of the NFL. Yeah. They'll probably be first family of the, you know, the NCAA, I mean the NFL. You know, you have the father that played in the NFL and two brothers.
Right.
And they both, you know, I think they both, you know, going through the circles, he built a good rapport with reporters. And now you see it with this HGH thing that came out, and also this situation what happened, sexual situation that happened. You can see it now. You can see it now between the two, because now you see all the people coming to bat for them. Because Peyton Manning is going to sit down with you guys, and he's going to come down to us and be like, yo, what's good? He's going to say, what's up, friends? Hey, Rick.
Right.
He's going to come down and sit and talk with us like, you know, we one of his boys. And that's how they feel. So now they feel like they got to go to bat for him. And my whole thing is that if it was wrong, I mean, if anybody's not knowing what we're talking about, you know, 1996, Peyton Manning is a sophomore at Tennessee. There's a head trainer there who's a female. She's in the training room. He's on the table. And basically, puts his private parts on her face as she's working on his foot.
And I thought that was funny, though, because I laughed at
her. Yeah. And then also to the standpoint of he went and lied. He lied about it. He said that he was mooning a fellow, you know, athlete at the school, Malcolm Saxon. And he said that, and he came out. He denied it, but then first they kicked him off. They took his scholarship away.
Oh wow!
They took his scholarship away, and he went on to plead to Saxon. Saxon went on to plead with him about, you know, tell the truth. He pleaded with him, and he told him. He said, "I'm not on her side. I'm not on his side."
Right. I
want to know the truth. I'm just telling the truth. That's all what it is. And it's just funny how, like, people dismiss things as, like I see a couple of reporters, you know, they also to the crux of it, Peyton Manning, they had a situation of, also Peyton Manning had a situation where they flat out slandered her. They slandered her. He said that she, you know, she was lying, and they signed a confidentiality report, you know, signed agreement. They both signed it. Peyton Manning, you know, wrote a book in 2001, which violated it. And
yeah, and then talked about it.
Yeah, and he dismissed her, I think she was a vulgar mouth.
Right.
And basically,
he had to pay her again.
Yes, he had to pay her three times for it. And you just wonder, and it's like, wow, and it makes you open up your eyes, and it's like, yo, this dude lied. He went on to humiliate her, friends, but then also lie and say it was on her. Like, what? Like, are we serious right now? Then you have people going to bat for Peyton saying, oh, it's a he say, she say stuff. Like, a he say, she say, friends, is me going, I feel this certain way about you, friends, and I'm gonna go talk behind your back. And then it's just gonna be, and if somebody else adds their little add their little food, they come say that to you. Then all of a sudden turns into something that's just big. That's he say, she say. I don't think you saying somebody putting their private parts on your face is he say, she say.
Right, right. That's that's above that. And the thing about it is, you don't know how many other times that has been done. It's almost going to play out. I don't even know if it's going to play out like almost like a Bill Cosby type. All
no.
these women start coming out the woodwork.
Nah, I doubt anything like that, anything to that effect will happen. But
oh no, I don't. I'm not saying that depth. I'm just saying how one after one came out, another one came out, then another one came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, but also to go for now, it makes you, I think that to me, I don't know how anybody else feels, but to me, it opens up the floodgates as far as in the HGH, you know, situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Now it makes you wonder, because now it's like, okay, he's been on record. He's known to be a liar. He's known to be a liar now. So, I've been like, you know, consistent. Where was he at? Where's he at now? When these reports came out, granted, yes, he can't talk about this issue, but where's he at saying, oh, no, or this and that? He did it after the ACH. He flat out came out and denied everything and called it completely bogged.
It
brings that little doubt about him up. It brings it out, though.
But that one he needed to, because that was directly towards him and his wife or whatever. But this one entails more than just him. It entails other players that were witness, Archie Manning, the family. You know, you can't just jump out there because, you know, I'm pretty sure a lawyer would be like, yo, shut up, sit back, don't say a word, you know. Let's be serious.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I understand that aspect of it. I understand that aspect. But
the only thing I'm really kind of, you know, I mean, some people did rip them apart, but you guys, some people are like, you know, you can't say anything until, you know, two sides of the story. I was like, are you serious right now? There's only really one side to the story. You paid her twice, so most of it's true. So. Let's just be for real.
Frizz, these are the same people, and I'm not trying to compare, because there's a difference between ball deflation and self-sexual assault. But the same people that just said those words off, Frizz, are the same people that said, suspend Tom Brady from the Super Bowl, suspend Bill Belichick, make the Patriots forfeit the Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. These are the same people, friends, you know? These are the same people that you were saying, oh, there's two sides to the story. Those are those same people that are saying, oh, no, we can't, we have to listen to both sides. Those are the same people, friends. The same exact people who are defending,
paid meaning. And I agree. And, you know, the difference is, you know, this is what I don't understand. And this is when I don't like the government, or I call it conspiracy. Why did it take him, this has been going on for that long, why did it take him to win the Super Bowl for y'all to drag this out? What are you trying to gain at this point? This happened like 15, 20 years ago, and now you're bringing it back out after all this time. Why? You know, that's the thing I don't understand, is what made you bring it out at this point in time again to bring it to the forefront all over again? I know she's supposed to have another class action suit that's going to be going against them, but, I mean, to me it goes back and forth. And if I was Peyton, I would do the same thing. I wouldn't say a word. I'll just die off into the sunset, and I would retire Super Bowl champion. You know, I wouldn't even stress anything.
No, no. I mean, no, Friends. I mean, I definitely know that aspect of it, Friends, where you look at it and you wonder why, you know, something like that, and why is something like this happening? Like, why is, okay, so for what reason, what is it to gain, and this and that? And I guess in this world of social media, you know, in this world of social media, you know, things are going to get put. If this happened now, if this happens in, if this happens, let's say, you know, X amount of, you know, now it's a big deal.
Right.
You know, it's a bigger deal, Friends. Let's be clear. I think more so.
No, I mean, it's a total big deal. But
yeah.
What brought it out again now that.
I think let's be clear. There was somebody that had an access line. Somebody sent him those documents.
Yeah.
Somebody sent him the documents. Somebody had an access line. And that's what happened. That's
somebody was in their feelings.
Yeah.
It was like, here, get this. And I'm telling you, this sometimes that football is on some Olivia Pope type stuff.
Definitely. Just like you said, somebody was in their feelings, Friends. And then what they had an axe to grind. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and blame them about their axe, but that's what basically what happened. What's happening? I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm not gonna brush it off as a, you know, as like, you know, complete non-story, you know, this and that. You know, this is something I look at and I say, yo, this is kind of serious.
Right.
I look at something like this and say, yo, this is really serious, and it's something that, I mean, it makes you look at him differently, and also too, it makes you look at his family differently, and maybe his family ain't as, you know, as perfect and golden as, you know, people try to think. And granted, because, I mean, you know, you got kids, I'm pretty sure that you'll go to bat for them and anything whatsoever. I know that you'll probably, you know, you'll defend their honor and you'll defend everything, you know, that they'll do. Shows you the limits that Archie went to, you know, protect Peyton.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I would have did all of that, though, dude. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have rubbed it in that much. You know, you protect them, but the overall, you know, rubbing it back in her face type, that's where I think he went kind of overboard. That's the only thing I'm saying. You know, it was just too much that she did, because you could have just swept it under the rug. And then let alone, college has been hit for a lot of controversy and drama. With everything they have going on.
Yeah. And I mean, it's nothing to say, but it makes you wonder, Friends. Now, there's a, I know, like, you know, I wake up this morning and I see a report that's been a former player from that school. Or a current player sending pictures to a naked picture to his naked private parts to a 14-year-old, what he thought was a 14-year-old. So it is like, what's going on in Knoxville, Friends? What is going on down there? They have a 20-year problem.
Right, yeah. Blowing your mind, huh?
Yeah. Everything is. Yeah, everything is like kind of just like blowing your mind and ask, like, it, you know, it makes you wonder, and, you know, it's just like, wow. But definitely.
And that's all you
but,
said. Like, I don't get caught in doing things like that, in them pictures and doing stuff like that, because it can get caught up where somebody's going to leave you out there too dry. Tell my kids now, don't be sending your private parts around the world.
You know, keep them to yourself and your girlfriend or your boyfriend.
Right. Don't even do it to girlfriends, because once y'all break up, she's going to mess your whole world up. Don't do it to a girlfriend, man. Nah, that ain't official. Unless it's a couple of years or something. Or if you hanging tight, man, you don't care. Let it get around the world. You know, if you built like that. You know, can't nobody really talk about you. Guys can't talk about you because their girls are like, no, you don't say a word about that. That's you straight.
Yeah, but definitely. But also, we also go for his, we had the All-Star game that just passed. We had the All-Star game. All-Star weekend, actually. Chris, how do you feel about, like, this All-Star weekend?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the celebrity game was, I didn't really get into that too much, but but everything else was pretty good. The 3-point competition was good. The skill session was good. And the dunk contest was banana show.
I think that it was more so exciting. I think that I looked at it and I didn't have any expectations really for it. And I think that, if I go in that like that every year, I think that I'll have fun. I mean, I look at it like
right.
as fun. Because when you don't have, you know, these quote-unquote expectations, when you don't have these expectations, I think this is what happens, frankly, that you don't have the aspect of just dealing with these in disappointment, really. But this year, I mean, them going in overtime and getting 50 at the 50s, and, you know, a lot of people believe that Aaron Gordon was robbed.
Oh, he was robbed. He was robbed. Hands down. He was robbed. First of all, Levine's second dunk was his dunk without the mascot. The one where he took it between his legs with the mascot rotating. Come on, man. That was bananas. That was bananas. He got robbed. Now, the one underneath the legs, I do give him that. 1 foot after the foul line. I do give him that. That was nice. But when the dude almost sat on his head, he sat on the mascot's head. Come on.
I definitely see from the aspect of you saying, you thinking that, you know, he may have been wrong. In the morning, had you, you know, talking about the next day.
Oh yeah, that's what the good thing about it was, and I mean, people comparing. I don't know if you remember the dunk contest with Vince Carter and Steve Francis, because people forgetting that. People would really think that Vince Carter that Vince Carter's dunks was just so sick. But Stevie Francis gave him a good competition. That
was
a good
like
dunk contest.
6 foot, Chris.
Huh?
Stevie Francis was like 6'1", Chris, and he was, and the thing that he was doing was just like, whoa.
Right. No, so, dude, I'm looking at the dunk contest now. Yo, he still beat him, even with that dunk from half court. With him sitting down on that mascot, that was it.
How do you feel about the whole, you know, game?
I like the game. People didn't like the game, but I'm like, there's like no defense. Of course it's not going to be defense. I mean, nobody wants to get hurt or hurt nobody. I mean, these people are crazy. I mean, I thought it was entertaining. It was a lot of alley-oops. There's only one thing before I forget that I want to say.
Well, I don't think that
everybody
just
wants me. Wait, real quick, because I've been still holding on to. I have to make it an announcement and a confession, because I've been still holding on to the Kobe juice. Now, is it just me? He looks like extra behind with the level they were playing. I mean, like, even, yo, everything, his crossover was slow. Everything about anything that he tried to do. I mean, these dudes are just throwing up, just running the court. And he's like, no, I can't do it. I can't do that no more.
I mean, definitely, for, that's the aspect that I'm looking at things, I'm just like, yeah, Kobe may not look the same, or, they definitely, you know, catered towards him being his last all-time, you know, last all-star game, you know, honored him and, you know, such. But for, you know what, I'm going to sound pretty hypocritical. I group all the all-star games into one category. I mean, I feel like we can live without them. We can live without them. They can be here. But all-star game, NBA all-star game, the Pro Bowl, they're just all the same thing. We don't want to see our players. We want to see a good game, but then we don't want to see our players that are on our team going hard and get a season-ending injury, you know, in, you know, this type of game. So you're going to see aspects of, you know, this type of game was going to be no defense. And I mean, I'd be careful. It's kind of tuning in and you're tuning out and you're tuning in. I mean, for me, now I'll go look and I'll be like, oh, okay, that's nice. And then I'll just, like, see the move on them.
I mean, I paid it. It stayed on the whole time. It did catch me a couple of, like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Some of them alleys that they were throwing was, like, yo, the first time the East, or the second time the East scored, they did something like, what is that, NBA jams, NBA street type stuff? Because one dude threw it up, the next dude came, he threw it up, and then whoever caught it slammed it. So I like stuff like that. Just call me crazy, I like stuff like that. That's what all I was looking for. You know, and to me, I mean, I enjoyed it. Who wants to see, like, a prevent defense going on? Come on, man. And they were showing their range. They were shooting from 5-6 feet from the 3-point line, 10 feet from the 3-point line. Come on, I mean, some was making it, some was missing it, but they gave one a show at this time. And you comparing it to, like, others, like All Star Weekend. I think this All Star Weekend is one of the best out of sports. I mean, if you're dealing with one side against the other side, the Pro Bowl definitely.
The way I feel about the prison, it's more than a lore because it's a weekend of, you know, activities. It's more of a weekend of activities, and, you know, you're talking about the entertainment aspect because there's that bridge where between hip hop and NBA, where they both intertwine with each other, where it brings everybody together and that flocks a lot of people to wherever it's going to be that weekend, whether it's Las Vegas, Toronto, you know, LA, New York, Atlanta. You know, it's going to flock people there because of that bridge between where now you have the nightlife. It's going to be, you know, fun. There's going to be a bunch of activities that are just going on, you know, just in general for your kids to even enjoy and then for you to enjoy at night, you know, yourself, when you go put them to bed. So now you have that aspect of, I think that's where the weekend, and it makes it more of an aspect where you look forward to it more than you look forward to a Pro Bowl or other aspects because of that allure of that weekend, because of things, everything that goes on, everything that's happening that weekend.
Okay. That's what's even more exciting about it. It draws a massive amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they've toned it down a little bit, and it's more, how should I say, it's kind of more, it's a little bit upscale than it was a few years ago. Before, it was thugged out. Come on, when Marbury and Stevie Francis and Ivy was all in the league, there was a bunch of thugs coming there. Now it's kind of toned out. You know, it's only important people that's there or people that's about doing something. So, I mean, I like it. It's a lot of money going on in those cities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But dealing with what they bought this year, I think they rejuvenated a lot of stuff. Every part of the the All-Star weekend probably was at a 9 to 10. The three-point conference, come on. Can you script it better? Even if they script it, I give them an A-plus for the script. Steph Curry against Klay Thompson for a three-point competition. Golden State on top of the world. You know? The only thing, now, the skills competition. Carl Anthony Towns, big man, beats Isaiah Thomas. Come on. I mean, so I give him an A on that because it made people like, oh, I got to pay attention to that.
That was even funner.
Dunk contest just being rejuvenated. And not because I still think, like, to me, LeBron's going to go down in history always with a question mark because you still should have. You just should have. You
can't bring him if he ever just joined the dunk contest for his book, see what. If he ever just joined the dunk contest, he just went it off of because he's just LeBron and he's in a dunk contest. And I didn't think that he was just scared to go against somebody because him, LeBron, he wasn't doing like, you look at Zach LaVine, you look at Aaron Gordon. LeBron wasn't that kind of guy. I think LeBron was more of in the mode of Dominique.
Right.
He was in the mode of a Dominique. And that's no fight of Dominique. It was just, power. And it was like, I'm going to do this windmill and I'm going to break this rim.
Right.
You know, I'm going to slam it through. And I understand what they were saying. I think Army Drummond did something as well. And he kind of just finessely put it through the hoop. He didn't put it in. Like, he didn't put it in there. So I understand that aspect. But, no, I definitely agree with you. You have all these events. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's from Friday to Sunday. And I think that, you know, the game gets lost. Sometimes the games can get lost into it. And, you know, aspect of it. It's different from, you know, like a Pro Bowl or, you know, MLB may do it a little bit when they have the home run derby.
Yeah.
When they have the home run derby. But that's, I mean, I think the NHL has, you know, skills competition. So, no, but definitely the NBA definitely can maximize that whole weekend. And also, too, though, Fritz, you know, I know we're going to dive into it a little bit more later. You have, you know, three players that, you know, recently, you know, you have Yao Ming, Allen Iverson and Shaq, the finalists for the Hall of Fame. So,
I don't know why.
You don't know why? There needs to be another Hall of Fame. It seems that we're just like everybody can get into it.
Yeah, I mean, Yao Ming played like 3 years and was plagued by upper and lower bone injuries for the rest of the 7 years that he was in the league. And I mean, I know that that's like country relations, that's the only reason why you're doing that. But, I mean, Yao Ming didn't stay in the league.
No. I mean,
make an impact.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, exactly. No, exactly, Richie. How long was he in the league for him to, you know, really, you know, how long was he in the league for to say that, okay, yeah, I mean, honestly, Fritz, when you look at it, Fritz, it makes you wonder, like, really? Hall of Fame? Are we just going on because of name?
Oh, yeah.
Because Hall of Fame is a different status, you know, for a player. You're in another level.
Right. I mean, that was just like, okay, let's make sure, you know, we keep it cool with China. You know, and put him in the Hall of Fame. Okay, he played what, from 2002 to 2009, so about 7 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I don't know, Chris. I just look at that. I mean, I just look at that aspect, and I'm just. Seriously?
Okay, 2005 and 2006. 2005 he played. 57 games. 2006, he played 48 games. 2007, he played 55 games. 2008, he played 77 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he played it. He sat out. He did not play the whole year, 2009-10. 2010-11, he played 5 games. 91 minutes, the whole year.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
For his career, he had 19 points.
It makes you wonder why. And you look at the careers of a Shaq had, and also Poodle Prisons, Chris Webber's not even up there. So you're telling me Yao is more of an all-star than Chris Webber?
No, I don't think so.
It's just
Chris Webber's not from China, y'all is.
what are we doing here? So,
Again, Chris Webber's not from China. Yao Ming is.
Yeah. But then also, too, though, is we have a trading deadline tomorrow. And we have the same things that go on every single year. It's who's going to move here? Is this big player going to get moved? Is so-and-so going to get moved? And what happens, Chris? We see it. If C-level player gets traded for this C-level in cash, you never see the big fish go, and that's never going to happen. I just want to cap everybody's expectations. It always takes two to tango. It takes two to tango, and this is not NBA 2K where you can force a trade. You can turn force trades on and everybody has to do what you want to trade. Or this is 2K when the computer agrees to these outlandish trades and you get over on them. So, this is the NBA. You got guys that are professional and are working with each other. And they got to work for a common goal that's going to, you know, help work for the team. And they're just going to give players away.
Hey, I wish there was a button that you can turn it off. But it's nobody out there that makes a difference that really can be traded right now.
Yeah.
Carmelo has a no-trade clause, and unless you got something that's very, very, very inviting, Lala's not leaving New York, period, unless you're going to put her in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're talking about a Blake Griffin, Carmelo deal, switching sides like that, that's the only move I think Lala would even make, is if I'm not in New York, I'm in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than that, who else are we talking about being traded?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You dealing with the aspect of you're talking about the players like Dwight Howard.
I told you before, Rick, you know, the comment, I see that Danny Ainge is a smart individual for backing off of him. He's
mm-hmm.
not that same player.
Mm-hmm.
So the name, okay, if you want to put more seats in the arena, okay. But the way you guys are playing the continuity, every team he's been to, he's broken that up.
Yeah, no. Now you hear reports of him and James Harden actually they're both going at it. You know, they actually undercutting each other, you know, trying to get each other traded.
Yeah, because, I just don't see what value he brings to a team in this league where,
No, if you look at that situation, you see how vile, volatile, both.
No, I'm just saying in a league where they can take his position away from him. They can put, I mean, if you're talking about like when they play against Golden State and they all go small, he's still not relevant against San Antonio.
No. No, but you look at just both of them. They just hear the reports of him and the Harden, they both want each other out. And then it's like, wow, really? Now you just make you look at, you know, that type of situation between the two, and you're just like, whoa, what was going on, and what in the world is going on in, you know, in Houston?
Right.
You know, what's going on down there? You have two players that, you know, seem not to like each other. And both Harden and you know, Howell, you're talking about two stars. You're talking about two stars. And that situation, I mean, I can see Howard walking away. You know, I agree with you, Chris, when you said, oh, you know, you wouldn't do it. It all takes about as far as what you're willing to sacrifice, you know, to give up to a team like Houston, because Dwight Howard's going to be a free agent. And he's always said that he's going to cut his contract this year, become a free agent. And he wants max dollars. And I don't think that you give a player, you know, with the, you know, the baggage that he has, you know, going with the back issues and the knee issues, and he's going to be on the wrong side of, you know, he's about to be on the wrong side of 30. Mm-hmm. I don't think you commit, you know, that much money towards him.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. What's an appealing trade? Start reaching out. Not nobody that's on the block, but who would you? I mean, if you're a team like Oklahoma City, the Clippers, maybe a team like Toronto, Chicago, which is sort of on that fence. What would be a player that you would think that, hey, let's try and get him, and he can help us?
A player that could be with them, maybe a Shane Fry. Maybe a,
so who?
Maybe,
to any one of them?
Who? Huh?
To any one of those teams?
Okay, you said Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm just saying any one of those teams, or are you saying standing Fry with this team, or?
Okay, now you hear reports of, like, Cleveland's after him and the Clippers or, you know, like that. And, I mean, you have a big that can, you know, stretch the floor. And he can be valuable on a team. He can be valuable on a – a contending team. You know, he's coming off the bench and he can provide shooting off the bench. I think that's one player that you can look at, and you can probably get him, you know, not for much. And I think that a team like the Cavs could, you know, really use him, because now you can have shooters that are around, you know, LeBron. I think that someone like Markoff, who I think really was a black type of player, I think he's obsolete now in their offense.
Okay.
They're down
okay.
when they got Tyronn Lue.
That's right.
I think that
you, the GM
mm-hmm.
of Toronto, right now, who would you go? Who would you try and get?
Paul Gasol. Paul Gasol.
Wow. You would get Paul, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What about if you were Chicago?
Hmm?
What about if you were Chicago?
If I was Chicago, who am I going after?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, contrary to that, you know, with your favorite, it seems that Chicago looks like they want to sell. You hear reports of them, you know, Chicago heavily has Paul Gasol and trade talks, and, you know, they're looking for players, you know, if you want, you know, somebody like Taj Gibson, he can be had. So, I mean, it makes you wonder about a team like, you know, Chicago.
So, let me ask you a question. Keep Chicago's team the way it is, and let me throw a player at you like Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
So, why aren't they going after players like that where you can probably get, I mean, him off the bench is like, I mean, when when Rosebrett, he can play. When Butler rest, he can still be on the court. You know, that's a good piece.
No, and I understand that. I just think that they look at it. I definitely couldn't understand that. Why are they not more of a, trying to get that championship or try to at least, compete? But I guess these last couple of years, them keep losing to the Miami Heat or the Cavs, just waiting on them, saying that it's a time to just, kind of semi-blow it up and just start to build around Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is that their, whole thinking? Because I think Rose is, his contract is up after this season.
Yeah, so, but I don't know what's up with teams always liking to blow things up, like, the ISIS and stuff. I mean, come on. You've got a core. Who else are you guys going to be getting unless you keep a little bit of what you have and build on it? To me, they're right at knocking at the door against only team in the East that's worth playing for anything. For example, Ryan. Go after somebody like a if they acquire somebody like a Rudy Gay or a Taj Gibson. There's a few teams, even Toronto. You're one player away from moving them off the block.
No, definitely, you're definitely one piece away from just adding yourself into that, that conversation where we say maybe we could take a cast or Game 7.
Right.
But also too, those offenses. Miami, they're in a pickle. I was going to bring this up. Bosch may be in doubt now. There was reports coming out talking about he may have a blood clot in his calf. So that's something that prevented him and sat him down last year.
Right.
So that is something definitely seemed like, the Heat will have to monitor.
I mean, they might have to cancel him out.
Yeah, the Bulls are not going to just give away somebody like Todd Gibson, so I don't know who the Heat, and the Heat don't seem like they have much pieces that you would want to trade away. So I just think that a lot of things are complicated for us, and I think that we're going to see. Maybe with the way the cap's coming up next year and, things happen, wonder what Durant does and, other aspects of that. Maybe we'll see some movement.
Now, do you think they can really come get Durant?
Off
season. Do you think Golden State can really get them?
I will have to dive in and read more into what the aspect of how much, more different he'll make this team. Because I was kind of going to say, if it's not broke, why mess with it? Granted, you could definitely add another layer, but how much is that going to take off of? Granted, you're going to have to eventually replace a guy like Andre Iguodala, but I mean, defense, I don't think just goes away. I think that he has another couple years. And, I mean, how long do they expect this year? I mean, obviously, if you added Durant, maybe you could add 3-4 more years left to this. But, I'm not sure. I just think that they just need to, move along as they are right now. Because it's going to mess too much up with their team. Because you don't want to be too top heavy.
Dude, if they get the ring, they might as well just make the rings for the next 3 years. Barring injuries, might as well already go to state.
Nah, but definitely. Also, too, though, to look at someone like Durant, it makes you wonder. I don't believe Durant would sign a multi-year deal in, you know, Thunder, with the Thunder.
Oh, no,
I think his best case is a 1-year contract. You know, maybe sign a 2-year contract with an opt-out after 1 year. There's nothing worse because Ibaka and Russell Westbrook are both free agents.
Right.
After next season. And there's nothing worse for him to sign a new 5-year deal, and then they both walk. Now he's there stuck by himself for 4 years.
Right, right.
So I think that it's best, you know, if he wants to go back to the Thunder, it's for him to go and sign 1 year and then see where those guys go. And if they all make their decision to sign back and, you know, get the band back together, then cool. But if not, now he... If he signs back with the Thunder, he knows what he's walking himself into.
Right.
Rather than him just signing and him just trying to convince them to sign and he can't, and they go off and they, you know, go other places, and now he's stuck, you know, being, you know, the only player left on the Thunder.
Exactly. But,
so
I mean, at the end of
it's going to be lonely in OKC.
That's why he's going to sign a 1-year deal, you know, and see what's going on next year.
Yeah. No, you know, definitely. And, you know, I make him my pitch to KD, you know, come over here. You know, LeBron's getting older.
Right.
LeBron's getting older. And, you know, I'm asking for that. But Frizz, also, though, I just look at it now, and it's more so hindsight. And it's just, why did... You know, the Cavs, you know, with their team, the way it was constructed, you know, why did they feel the need to trade a player like Andrew Wiggins? I'm just confused on why they had to feel they needed to trade him. Why you brought in Kevin Love and you potentially traded him for somebody that's like the next generation. LeBron could have passed the torch on to him. And when LeBron fell into the role of, you know, being playing the second fiddle, you know, or the third fiddle or whatever, you know, he could have prolonged his career as far as in, you know, being top notch, because now he has someone else that can take the score load off of him as LeBron gets into his, you know, round 33, 34. He doesn't have to be a Kobe Bryant that feels though that at 36 he's a score every night. Now he has a Kyrie Irving, and he also has, Andrew Wiggins. Like you went over before to say, friends, a player like Kevin Love just doesn't fit in with a LeBron type of player, and LeBron makes him look worse because they just don't, you know, clash.
Yeah, LeBron makes a lot of players look worse.
No, because I just thought it was a lot of players.
While they make him look better, they get worse. His stock go down, and and I don't care what anybody says. That's what happens. It's what I see. And look at Chris Bosh. Now look at Kevin Love. You can hardly even deal Kevin Love now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to say that he was this elite player, but come on, when they grabbed him, they were like, "Oh, Kevin Love to with LeBron? Oh, it's a wrap. You might as well start making a ring now." And
mm-hmm.
then they grabbed the same bunch of duplicate players that they had before, and it still won't result to nothing. You got an Iguodala who would start on another team. Their bench players will never start on another team. They're bench players. You got some dysfunctional people from New York with J.R. Smith and Shumpert, and then they added that to it, and then we was only going on the hype and the name. But yet, what they've been producing throughout the years, nobody ever reflected on that. Oh, LeBron helped make them better. LeBron helped them get wider open shots. Now Carmelo's like, see what I was dealing with? Okay. See what I was dealing with. Well, LeBron's skill set. I mean, I'm not taking nothing away from LeBron, but I think they give him too much. I mean, what did they rank him? I think third all time. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
How did that? the hell is wrong with people? No way.
Also, for instance, you know, the combines next week, the underwear Olympics that they call it, the combines next week, and then also 3 weeks from today starts NFL free agency. So we have those things to look forward to, but also, you know, as I said before, the trading deadline tomorrow, you know, it's at 3:00. We're going to hear a lot of rumors. It's going to get a lot of people excited. Oh, is he going to go there? Oh, he's coming to my team. Most of the time it doesn't happen because most teams really went to the offseason so they can implement their system, you know, get the player during training camp rather than getting him in the middle of the season. That just never works. It's, you add the little parts. Just like Frizzy asked the question, you know, are the teams like the Cavs, Oklahoma, you know, Clippers, you know, what pieces can they add, you know, to, you know, put them over the top to maybe, you know, beat a team like the Warriors or the Spurs? I mean, you probably won't see those two teams making moves. But we definitely gonna, you know, see about the, you know, it's something definitely to monitor, and we'll definitely talk about things on, you know, coming this weekend. You know, so definitely be up for tuning in. And that was episode of the Real Pool Show. We out.